Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
You know, in my journey with the Lord, I always wanted to know a God, not at a distance, but reality. How many want a real relationship with a real God? Amen? This is not our invisible friend, Jesus. But did you know there's a parallel universe that we live in? What we see around us is not all there is. This was created by something that's not seen. That's the superior realm. And God gave us a way to connect with Him. Everybody say, connect with Him. Now, the worst thing to do is to have a disconnect, you know, where you're not plugged in. I remember I was training. I'm a national trainer for a company, and I'm in a town, 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, I'm going to get on the treadmill. So I get up. I get on the treadmill. This thing was massive, man. It looked like a 747. There were bells and whistles and all kind of stuff. And I'm so excited, but I can't figure out how to turn it on. And so I'm there 20 minutes later, by the way. I worked up a real sweat. Anyway, 20 minutes later, I called the guy at the front desk and I said, hey, help me out here. I can't turn this thing on. So he came up to the room and, I mean, he came up to the workout facility and he gave me a look like, are you serious? And he pulled that plug and, I mean, the plug was not in. He plugged it in and looked at me like I was stuck on stupid. You know what I'm saying? But some of us go a whole long time disconnected, saved, but you're not making the connection. Can I get an amen in this place? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where does that connection come from? What is the context of the reality that God wants to providentially download into our hearts? Now, I remember growing up, and I saw the evolution, if you will, of TV. TV started, you know, the first TV, you could barely make out the images. So it wasn't even available for commercial use. But the researchers were getting excited about being able to transmit an image over the lines. And so early on, that thing was just ridiculous. Well, in 1950-ish, I was born in 53, in around 57, 60, we had TV, but it was all black and white. How many of you remember that? I'm just trying to relate to you, and I'm not. But anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. And in mid-60s, they came out with color TV. Aren't you happy? Aren't you glad for color TV? The whole purpose, though, was to get it as real as possible. They keep trying to make it more real. So then in the 90s, they came out with, we had analog. We had analog and then digital came in, HD. Now you can see pimples and everything. You know what I'm saying? It's real. And they're trying to come out with three-dimensional. Now, how many of you would get real excited about going back to a black and white TV? See, once you taste and see that he's good, you don't want to go back. But we've got to find out who is the God of the Bible, because for some reason, tradition has blinded us from the God of the Bible. We have like a plastic Jesus sometimes. And you know, when we have a plastic Jesus, it produces plastic fruit, which is really good if you're going to have mannequins over for lunch. But it's really, I'm trying to relate to young adults, man. Help me. Just give me a mercy laugh. Just be merciful and laugh, will you? Can you do that for me? Help a brother out. But the journey that we're on is to discover the reality of the God we serve. And there's something about Him that is so massively good, so massively wonderful, You know his mercy is massive to us. Do you, know what I'm saying? You know what his mercy is? It's unconditional love. Do you know why David got happy? Because he found out about the loving kindness that was better than life. And he started to, he would dance himself, and he danced himself out of his clothes one time. You know what I see in that? He could care less about what anybody thought, because he was caught up with the God who massively loved him. Amen? But religion hid this massive mercy. When Jesus came, they were saying to him, "Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me," because religion had hid the heart of God. And when he came like with a defibrillator. And when he hit it on the Sadducees and the Pharisees, man, it was dead. It was dead gone to seed, man. But on the people, they came alive. Amen. That woman that heard about Jesus, who was at Simon, the religious guy's house. Somebody was a carrier. Somebody had a picture in their heart of the God, this God who has massive mercy, and said, "You got to go see this Jesus." My God. Whatever she said caused this woman, who would never go to that religious house, would never go to Simon's house, went to his house with everything that she could offer Jesus. And at his feet, she washed his feet with her tears. She came face to face with the Jesus of the Bible. You will never be the same. This religious stuff has got to stop. We got to have a face-to-face with him. And guess what? He's not holding out. He's been in pursuit of us all the days of our lives. Say all. Does that mean, I looked that word up, it means all. That means on your good days and on your bad days. Can I get an amen in this place? See, until you're rock solid, pun intended, until you're rock solid on the love of God, on your good days and on your bad days, you'll never be quite sure of this one who loves you unconditionally. But when you get sure like David, instead of you hiding from him, you'll be running to him. Can I get an amen in this place? See, all the fix is on and the fire is on in the presence of the Lord, in that face-to-face with him, in us coming boldly, my brother, to the throne. Boldly. Do you notice it says to the throne of what? Is that the throne of your best performance or what he did? Can I get an amen in this place? He says, come boldly. You know, a throne, we get the idea, like Pastor Donnie says, that it's judgment. Man, God says, come boldly to the throne of my grace. But he says something before that. He says, you and I are naked and open before him. In other words, God sees everything about us. I want you to hear this. God knows everything about you. And the one who knows everything about you loves you most. And his opinion is the only one that matters. And when you get that, it'll get you, and then the crowd will change, because all of a sudden you will have a value, because you know the one whose opinion matters says, I love you. I know you best. I love you most. I know you when you get up. I know you when you go along the way. I've surrounded you. Everybody say surrounded. God has surrounded us with his love. Amen? Amen. But see, this is so, people are scared to preach this, because they think if you hear this, you're going to want to sin more. I think if you hear this radical news, you're going to want to know him more. I think you're going to want to run to him more. I think this place would pack out because suddenly we would have encounters with the real Jesus and the God of the Bible instead of some plastic Jesus on a dashboard. Can I get an amen in this holy place? God knows us best and what? Loves us most. And I mean, he knows everything. You know, the woman at the well, she has a face-to-face with the Jesus of the Bible. And she's somehow, some way, in this meeting with this woman, Jesus says, give me to drink. Give me some water to drink. And he looked at her and thought he had some ulterior motives. Fractured filters we have. Sometimes we relate to God through a fractured filter. Sometimes love, you give your all and you're hurt and you don't even know how to love anymore. Fractured filter. The number one problem in America today among young people is rejection. You know why he was crucified and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you and I would never sense rejection or being forsaken again. He took the rejection. He took all the rejection. So the woman at the well says, why are you asking me for water? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. First of all, they hated each other, and it wasn't just a bigotry. It was an inbred hatred. It was a hatred worse than any kind of hatred. It wasn't a race issue. It was religious, inbred. We hate your guts, you hate us. And she's wondering why you're asking me for water. And you know what Jesus said? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for water, you'd have asked him, and I'd have given you living waters. Now, do you know what she said? Oh, praise the Lord. No, she said, now, check this out. She's got an attitude. She said, really? She said, well, where are you going to get the water that you say? This well is deep, and you don't have anything to draw from. And then she said, Are you greater than Jacob, who came to this well, drank at this well, and his family drank here? In other words, he thought Jesus was saying, I'm a gift. And she says, are you greater than? But Jesus just, what did Jesus do? Lovingly is right there. This wasn't good for his ministry. This wasn't good for He's tired. Everybody say tired. When he got to the well, he's tired. He's weary. Here comes a Samaritan woman. In the natural, there's a natural thing. Oh, my gosh. What am I doing? Trying to get some water here, and I got to deal with this woman. But you know what? Love was overriding everything. And he, like the Father, was after this woman and even took the insults for a little while until he turned her around. But here's what I want to say to you. He said to her, he said, I'm going to give you water, and if you'll drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. For the water that I give you will be a wellspring of life, springing up into everlasting life. And she says, give me this water that I thirst not anymore. Now, what was he relating to her? She kept going to the well. We go to the well thinking, this is going to fill the hole in our heart. She thought relationships was going to fill the hole. Did relationships fix her? She had a concept of religion. Did religion fix her? No, but Jesus. But everybody say, but Jesus. So he said to her, I'll give you living water. She says, well, give me of this living water that I don't thirst anymore. He says, now go and get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. His response to her was, "You said that truthfully. You don't have a husband. You've had five." Everybody say five.
Five.
"And the one you're with now, you're not married to." Now, here's my question to you. Do you think that was God trying to get her straight? Or was it him trying to tell her, "I know, and I love you anyway"? I know. See, her thought process is, if he really knew me, he might not love me. And Jesus is telling her, "I know you, and I love you. And furthermore, I'm the Messiah." And she saw in his eyes, what leaped out of his eyeballs was the love of God. And that's what turned her around. And that's what will turn us around. You don't have to struggle to share this love affair if you know his love for you. Amen. Makes you want to dance, doesn't it? Massive mercy. Massive love. Now, look at Psalm chapter 32. Blessed is he, everybody say, blessed is he, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin, everybody say, whose sin is covered. Now that word blessed means, according to the Amplified, happy, fortunate, to be envied. It's he who has his forgiveness and transgressions, forgiveness of his transgressions continually exercised upon him, whose sin is covered. Everybody say, my sin is not just covered. It's gone. See, he didn't have what we have. They kept going back, being reminded of sin. We have the once and for all offering. That's Jesus. He says, blessed is the man into whom the Lord Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I want you to hear this. First of all, how many of you know there's nothing accidental or incidental in the scripture? Do you know that? Now I want some of you to really, I want you all to grasp this, but some of you need this. This is like a lifeline to you right now, because you still don't know how massive this mercy is. You still think your bad is better or bigger than his blood. I'm trying to tell you that God the Father is in such pursuit of us that if we will just turn to him, everything will be different. We'll begin to spend time with him, and that time, our quantity time will be quality time, and that quality time will begin to, God will begin to impart things to us at a level that nobody can take from us. You will be so rock solid. It's not that you will be sinless. It's just that when you fall, you'll fall forward. You'll get up quicker, and you'll fall less, and there'll be more fruitfulness in your life, and you'll be saying, look what the Lord has done, because you knew what you could do apart from him, and that was nothing. I didn't hear you.
Nothing.
I was just making sure. So, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. But when I kept silent, everybody kept silent. My bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now here's the deal. every type of sin, say every type of sin,
every type of sin,
is mentioned here. Thank you so much. You're so obedient. Hallelujah. I've always wanted to do that. Excuse me, and I'm on a roll right now. Is it all right if I do this? Say, every type of sin is mentioned here. Here's what God wants to tell us, loud and clear. God is not shocked by the human condition. Now, David needed this, didn't he? David needed to know the heart of God, because if he did not know the heart of God, he would not have run to him when he messed up royally. He would have run from him. This is the kind of love that makes your faith work. This causes you to fall less. And if you fall, though, you'll get up. When you mess up, everybody say, when I mess up,
I fess up.
And then in Christ,
I get up.
That's the gospel message. When you mess up, you fess up. And then in Christ, you get up. This is how you grow up. Amen. See, to me, I tried, everybody say tried, so hard to be a good son. But my trying actually reinforced my failing. Because you cannot cure what ails you with who you used to be. You have to land on Christ, who, by the way, is the mercy seat. You see, he didn't see Jesus in this, but we see Jesus. Jesus is the mercy seat. Everybody say mercy seat. Now, what did God say to Moses? He said, I want you to make me a mercy seat, Moses. He gave him the picture. He gave him the visuals, but he didn't quite get the picture. He said, this mercy seat, I want you to put it above, and I want you to put it in the holiest of all, and I want you to put it above. Everybody say above.
Above.
And I want it to be gold. Why do you think it was above, and why do you think it was gold? Anybody have a... Why do you think God said, make this of gold and put it above the law? Why? You can set your standard of holiness as high as you want, as long as the mercy standard is a little higher. Because your father and my father wants to deal with us relationship first, not rules first. If you get that out of whack, you're going to be an insecure believer. And the bottom line is security. God is from Daddy. Identity is from your father. So you can walk out your destiny from a place of intimacy. Does that do anything for you? Because I'm telling you, this is radical good news. You know, they're talking about people being radicalized with hatred. How about us being radicalized, Michael, with the love of God? Let's be radicalized tonight. How about that? My goodness. So, every type of sin David recognizes or says in the Hebrew here, when he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed unto the Lord who does not impute iniquity. All different words. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, and this was the only problem, David was shucking and jiving with God instead of being transparent. He was doing the cover himself with the clover leaf deal, making excuses. You don't have to make any excuses. He knows. Just run to him. So he said, when, everybody say when, I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. God was trying to get his attention. That's conviction, by the way. That's not condemnation. There is no condemnation for you in Christ. He took it. Amen? In fact, your failings will not unravel your righteousness. It may unravel your life. It will unravel your life. But I'm telling you right now, you're never going to be able to get up and have your faith work if you don't understand the God who loves you just where you're at, so he can take you where he wants you to go. So listen to this, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin. In other words, he just fessed up. Everybody say fessed up. And my iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I'll confess my transgression to the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. I thought he just read the resume of the ungodly. Let me say this over here. I thought he just read the resume of the ungodly. See, we have this out of whack. We've got this. Here's what we're doing with sin. Here's sin, and here's the Son. That's not the way it works. Here's the Son, here's the sin. The remedy is in us beholding the Son, not beholding the sin. He said, for this cause shall everyone who is godly pray to you in a time that you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near them. You are, everybody say, you are. My hiding place. Guess where the hiding place is? In the light. See, we've had this condemnation preached so much and tradition preached so much, we thought coming to the light was condemning. Coming to the light is freeing. Coming to the light is where we're supposed to be. Listen, I read that if God corrects you, he's delighting in you. There's not a smidgen of rejection in his correction. He said, when I correct you, JoJo, it's because I love you. And I'm actually delighting in you. So here's God working in the garden called our lives. He delights in us when he's correcting us. And he's delighting in us when he's showing us mercy. So guess what? He's flat out in love with us. He's delighting in us. So we should have no reason other than a wrong take on God to be running from him. We should be running to him always and surrendering all, because there's the fire. You don't have to try to muster up a fire. You're finding out the one who loves you, the one who's in pursuit of you, the one whose opinion matters. And in all of that, you come running to him instead of running from him. Can I get an amen in this place? Glory to God. So this should be a time that you are marked forever with the love of God. This should be a time that you say, God, look in every area of my life. David, after he knew God, knew everything about him in Psalm 139. He says, you know me when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. If I got up real early and I was running from you, you'd be out in front of me. You had the first baby book about me, Father. Did you know that? It's in Psalm 139. He had the first baby book. He has everything numbered about us. He has everything. He knows everything about us. Amen? When he had that revelation, here's what David said. Search me and see if there be any wicked ways in me. See, you'll never surrender wholeheartedly unless you know the God who loves you unconditionally. You will never surrender wholeheartedly unless you know the God, the Jesus of the Bible, who's all in. Not only did he live for us, he died for us. Then he gave us his life. And right now, he's praying that we get this. Glory to God. Doesn't that make you want to just dance? Amen. I'm going to keep my clothes on, but I am going to, God. This religious stuff has got to stop. God, you're giving God gray hair. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Donnie, help me here. How should I have said that? By the way, what is that? Never mind. We will talk later. That's in your Bible. Your B-I-B-L-E, it's in there. It's in there. It's all over the place. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. And then it comes down to the journey we're on is to know the heart of God. And the heart of God is displayed by Christ himself. He's the heart of God. He's the Word made flesh. He's the heart of God made flesh. And we have to understand something. If we're going to sense the realities of God, know the realities of God, it has to go beyond what we feel like. See, what we feel like, God didn't say, I love you with an everlasting love if you feel like it. He didn't say, you're a new creation, old things are past. Behold, all things are new if it looks like it. God is seeing and knows something about us that we don't quite know yet. But if we'll turn to him, he's thinking about us. Everybody say, he thinks about me.
He thinks about me.
24/7. And his thoughts are precious. He's not half mad at us. He's stuck with us, and he's okay with that. And if you really get bold, Pastor John, if you really want to get bold, you start hitting the wall in some of the areas of your life. Instead of you trying harder, which will reinforce the problem, and if you ever get it right, we're going to have to say hallelujah to you. But I refuse to say, oh, what a God. I mean, oh, what a guy. I want to say, oh, what a God. If I see a man or a woman of God do anything right, I say, God, look at your grace. But when you get this, he says, come boldly to my throne. Here's what I really think he's saying. If you'll be bold enough to come to his throne of grace and obtain mercy, when you're having an issue, when you're hitting a wall, you can say, God, you have a problem here.
Yeah, that's good. That's absolutely right.
You got a problem. Because I'm not going to. Here's what Paul said. I'm confident of this very thing. You began the work. You'll finish it.
Right.
You got a problem. I don't know why I didn't get more of an amen on that. I don't need it. Remember, I'm trying to give. I don't want to have to. But would you say, help a brother out? Did you hear what I said? If you hit a wall, well, I don't know if I want to give that up. Listen, everything we think we don't want to give up, if we'll just surrender it to God, you step past that, you'll look back at it and say, man, that was dung.
Yeah.
That's what Paul said. He said, I suffered the loss of all things, meaning there was some suffering. It must have been something he was holding on to, Jojo, but then he walked into worship and he said, what was that all about? But if you're stuck somewhere, if you can't give up what you think you can't give up, say, Lord, I'm just putting this in your hands. I'm willing to be made willing. Did that help some of you? You got a problem, Father. I'm willing to be willing. The quicker you sow that thing, by the way, the quicker you let that go, the more power, wonders, and the person of God will hit you like a ton of glory. Amen?
Amen.
So don't hold on to something that God's trying to tell you to give up, because it's not worth it. What's worth it is to know him. But see, as we're growing up, here's what happens. We approach God. The more immature we approach God from feelings then fact, which is the word, and then faith. When we mature, it's fact, what did the word say? It's faith, whether I feel like it or I don't. Did you hear me? Why should we enter into praise sometimes when you don't feel like it? One of the words for praise is the sacrifice of praise, meaning I'm praising God just because I know his heart toward me. I'm going to do it because I know him. I know his nature. I know his heart toward me. I'm going to praise him just for that reason only. Do you know when you do that, you give God a praise that not even the angels can give him? Because they're on that side of heaven, we're on this side of heaven, and when we're praising him that way, do you know what it does to God? He says he delights in that, and he will clothe us. Everybody say clothe us. He will adorn us with his glory. Are you ready for that? Yes. Say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.